Yeah, the origin of this, I mean, we're looking to how we can use the internet and modern social media to improve the way that we work and the way that we engage with the public. And one element of that is, how do we use Twitter? And someone posted on our sort of internal knowledge sharing system, hey, has anyone looked at what department's strategy for using Twitter should be? And Neil Williams at the Department for Business, Industry and Skills said, hey, I've been working on one of those for our new department. I'll share that. And more and more requests for that came in from colleagues around Whitehall, and we thought, well, hey, this is a good starting place for any department who wants to think how they can use Twitter to engage with the public, to communicate what's happening in the department, and to really draw attention to important things in their area of policy. So it's not an overall strategy for the government as a whole, but it's a starting place for each department as it's working through how best to use Twitter to meet its mission objectives.
And the fascinating thing that, as I was reading it, is that there are so many things in there that almost directly apply to what U.S. agencies, so this world isn't really all that different.
I think one of the things that we found and colleagues found was, of course, the first thing you do is to, if you want an answer to anything these days, is you go to a search engine and look for it. And really, there isn't a settled view on how enterprises, either commercial corporations or government agencies, should use Twitter in order to be most effective. It's not like other. It's not like other channels. There are certain expectations of how you use it, how you engage with the community on Twitter. So we thought, well, here's a good starter. Some other people contributed, and we thought, well, we should share that more widely, perhaps attract more comment and more contributions.
And this does seem like a different kind of medium. It isn't just putting information out there. It is actually an opportunity to participate with people, almost start a dialogue in some way.
Well, that's one of the cultural norms in Twitter, that it isn't just about broadcast. There's an expectation that you'll be aware of what else is happening on Twitter, and so that you'll retweet it, and also that you'll listen as well as talk. So, and engage with people through that. Now, that can be quite difficult for a government agency, both on terms of scale and in terms of getting into a sort of public dialogue with individuals about individual cases. But one of the things clearly that we want to do is pick up people's responses, and if there's a general answer to that, then we use Twitter to broadcast it back out.
And one of the fascinating things is you talk about some of the challenges in there, and some of them are, you know, the simple in Twitter, everyone retweets something, you find something interesting, you retweet it. Well, if an agency, if a government organization does that mean you're putting sort of your fingerprints on it? Are you applying some kind of government credibility to the information that's being retweeted, which was frankly something that, I mean, I'd sort of thought about, but hadn't really thought about in that kind of context.
I think that's right, and this is one of the reasons why when a government agency does this, you need to think about some of the aspects of policy very, very carefully, because although retweeting doesn't necessarily imply agreement, and that's not the etiquette of Twitter, it does give it it's worth going and looking at that. At the same time, one of the things that retweeting, even from other parts of government, can do is bring the attention of people following a particular department or agency, and so interested in an area of policy. Something's related, but they wouldn't otherwise see. So, for instance, on my own Twitter account, DODGENG, sort of has to be abbreviated.
And we'll link to you, so we'll get you some followers.
DIGENG.
Yeah, we'll link that up, and so you get some followers out of this.
Okay, thank you. I've just over 2,000 so far, so a long way to go to reach Barack Obama or our Prime Minister's level.
That's right.
But I saw one of my one of the ministers in another department was launching an innovation set of awards, and that included something for digital innovation. Now, that had gone out through an innovation channel, but that was a chance where I could retweet that to bring it to the attention of people who follow me, who will generally be interested in digital channels, digital media. So that helps break down some of the silos across government. One of the things I also like to do is to draw attention to good practice in other agencies, or sometimes outside, which should go to the opinion formers who tend to follow me.
And is this Mr. Williams? Do I have his name right, Mr. Williams? Yes. In his post, talks about some of the almost benefits that he's found through using this document to sort of almost explain it to people who say, "Hey, this is just a bandwagon thing. You know, everyone's jumping on. Do we really need to do this?"
I think that's right. And one of the there was a lot of comment about, "Hey, why have you got a 20-page Twitter strategy when you should be doing everything in 140 characters. But most of the 19 of those 20 pages are actually about the agency's communication strategy, the things they need to think about, and how effective use of Twitter can help them achieve their overall mission goals and help them operate more effectively and engage better with the public.
Is this something that UK organizations, I mean, one of the challenges that most people find in U.S. government is people are almost a little uncomfortable. Do I have the authority to say something? Does this need to go through layers of chains of command, which again isn't really the Twitter is sort of nomenclature? Is you this is quick happening information?
Yeah, well, this is what the document we've published this time is mainly about, is how an institution should use Twitter to communicate, and often through its press office and everything there taken as a statement of the department, which is why the document suggested certain bits of process and rules and getting things authorized. More widely, we're looking at how individuals within agencies can use social media to communicate in a sort of real authentic way about their jobs and the work that they do for the departments. Now, we've got an overall government social media code, which is based on the civil service code of practice, code of conduct, which is applied for a number of years to all sorts of media and public statements, and we roll that forward into the world of social media. A number of departments have started to use things like blogs to communicate what people in the field are doing to help people in Britain and around the world, and the reality of the situations they face. So probably some of the leading examples of that are some of our aid workers in the International Development Department working overseas, talking about their work there, and some of our diplomats overseas talking about the reality of the life in the countries that they're living in.
Do you see this?
The classic there is one of our diplomats in Harare in Zimbabwe writing quite frankly about what life is like there as he sees it every day.
And may not have had a outlet to do that in other periods of time, even 5 years ago.
That's right.
Do you see this document evolving over time? I mean, Twitter's, you know, a lot of people have just gotten on in the last year or so, maybe. Do you see this evolving over time as sort of the use of this tool changes?
We certainly do. It's not a fixed document. Indeed, one of the purposes of publishing it was to get other people's ideas on some of the questions in there. I think there's been a very active discussion in a number of blogs and some comments that we've had back on whether you should whether an agency should auto follow people who are following that agency. And I think there's a divided view on that at the moment. Certainly, we see tools like Twitter in the same way as happened with Facebook and the same way as happened with blogs evolving over time, and the government's use of those needs to evolve with it.
And it almost feels like this is a stepping stone to other things. You wouldn't have had Twitter if you hadn't had blogs. Sort of all these things sort of build on one another.
One of the things that we're trying to think about as we take forward on this is not just how we use the tools that are available and in general use now, but how we build some of those capabilities to spot new ways of engaging coming along and learn how to use those as soon as they become generally available.